With a complexion like peaches and cream, it's the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. The best friggin' Medicare podcast there ever was. He knows there's nothing post about post-nasal drip. It's Medicare expert Doug Jones.
Hey there. Welcome to the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. This is the podcast that supposedly helps people from Obamacare to Medicare with a very minimized bump in the road, maybe no bumps in the road. Our goal is to have you feel confident that once you've crossed over into that nether world of Medicare health insurance, that frankly, it's not going to be as bad as maybe you thought it was going to be. I had some correspondence with a client in Washington State, and he was complaining about something about Medicare. And then he said, oh, wait a minute. He said, Christ, should I become a Medicare fan? Is that what's happening to me because of my association with you? And I was happy to have him be comfortable with the fact that Medicare is not as horrible as a lot of young people think it is. So anyway, we are here to tell you about all things Medicare and to goof around a little bit. Often our goofing around occurs right after Randy plays our 30-second radio spot. The radio spot does a better job than I typically do of explaining why we're here. So if I can get Randy to push the magic button, we'll listen to it now. Medicare is complicated. Medicare can be confusing. Medicare is no fun to study. Will you know what decisions to make when Medicare time arrives for you? My name is Doug Jones, and I wrote a book to help you figure it all out. Medicare for the Lazy Man. It's on sale at Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com. Also, you can download and listen to my podcast, Medicare for the Lazy Man, wherever fine podcasts are given away free of charge. Medicare for the Lazy Man, simplest and easiest guide ever. All righty. That's it's short, sweet, and to the point. We're here to help people make the transition into Medicare. And when I say we, I'm talking about me, and I'm talking about Randy Carson, our favorite dial twister. Hello, Randy.
Good morning, Mr. Jones. A fine morning to you, 89 degrees up there in Cave Creek.
Isn't that fantastic? At this time of the morning, it's 89 degrees. This is what we wait for all winter long. And what happens? I have to go back to Illinois in a couple of weeks. Jeez.
Oh, my God. What's the weather like that back there now?
Ironically, they're telling me it's pretty nice, but I'm thinking it's going to get all that niceness out of its system early. And by the time I get back there.
Define Illinois nice.
Well, Illinois nice is no mosquitoes yet, no major humidity yet, and, you know, that kind of thing. And all that stuff changes somehow often. Now, last summer, for some reason, was accidentally very nice all summer. Didn't rain too much and didn't get buggy, and it was not humid and uncomfortable. But that's an unusual situation. I think this year is going to revert to the norm, and there's going to come a time in which I'll be begging, can we please go back to Arizona? I love Arizona. Can we please go back to Arizona? As you'll recall, last year we couldn't go back when we wanted to because we thought we had our house sold, and we panicked and had to go buy another house, and that process took 2 months. I didn't know where I was going to put all the cars, the parts, the tools, and all that stuff that doesn't get moved easily. So now we have too many houses in Illinois.
You're going to have to get into the flipping business.
I was in the flipping business, flipped over about five, six houses, made a profit on each one. Not enough to live on, but it was a good profit. And then house number six, I guess, came along. And it was a house that an old girlfriend of mine lived in. And in fact, Mary and I went to a party there for one of our very first dates back in 1967. So the house was just rode hard and put up wet. It was a mess, but it was on, you know, a nice couple acre lot out in the country, very beautiful setting, and the house needed to be rehabbed. So I told my builder that I had made all these profits with, go have at it, do what you think is right. And, you know, make us proud, and let's make a lot of money on this house. While he was busy overspending on everything in the house. The economy was kind of slowing down, and it was puckering up, and it was all of a sudden very difficult to sell it. And I wound up losing close to $250K on that, which ate up all the profits from all the other flips that we had done. And frankly, it was a sad experience that made me not ever want to flip houses again.
I don't blame you for that. That's kind of going to leave a mark in the old memory banks.
Absolutely. And so now I'm doing the same thing with the house that the only difference is I don't want to flip it. I want to have it become our house so I can sell the big house. This one's on 4 acres of mature oak trees, built in 1950. And it's in a fantastic village, outside a village of horsey people. And in fact, my father, when I was a kid, was president of the local country club. And so it's kind of like old home week. On the other hand, it's in Illinois, and my master plan called for me not to live in Illinois anymore. So once again, I'm a failure.
That's a whole nother topic you and I need to have a discussion over a Guinness with, because I thought you were trying to pull up a few more stakes out of Illinois, and you keep driving them down deeper.
Somehow I got married to somebody who's working at cross purposes with me.
Oh, well, you know,
yeah,
we'll talk about that over a Guinness, but hey, I do need to pull out my stick and beat you a little bit to get you, you know, doing a little Medicare work here.
Okay, let's do it.
The first thing I want to do is I'm going to start a new game called Stump Doug Jones, the Insurance Guy Expert.
Is there any way that I could win this game? It sounds like it's stacked against me.
It's going to be deceptively easy, and then I'm going to throw in a bogey that is still about Medicare or insurance in general, but it's going to get the difficulty scale is going to ratchet up from pretty much 1 to 8 million.
Okay, well, let's get going then, because I'm here to talk Medicare.
Okay, well, I'm going to give you I'm going to give you three questions, and then we'll see how you do, and then I'll see where we need to go from there.
Okay.
All right. Medicare Part what? Helps cover doctor's services.
That would be B as in boy or Bravo.
That's correct.
Let's call it B as in Bravo.
Bravo. Part right. Bravo. That is totally correct.
So now we're headed up towards 8 million, I assume.
That's the easy one for you.
Yeah. I figured that much.
Okay. So here's a little bit more difficult, but for you, no. You are still eligible. This is a true or false.
Okay.
You are still eligible for Medicare at age 65, even if your age for full retirement benefits from Social Security is 66. True or false?
True. Absolutely true, because there is no connection between Social Security and Medicare eligibility ages.
Okay. Well, you're doing well. So you've got 2 out of 2.
Okay. I know the tough ones are coming, though.
Now the tough ones are coming. I'm going to give you one, a little bit stiffer one here today, but this next one, but it's still something you're going to know right off the top of your head. Before Medicare, what percent of Americans 65 or older had no insurance?
That was a pretty high percentage, because health insurance for older people has been getting more and more expensive for decades. So I'm going to guess that it was somewhere in the neighborhood of 50%.
But that's
speculation.
You are so good. 48%. I'm going to give you that one.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you, sir. You're very generous.
All right, here's a couple tough ones now. We got to catch up here. I'm going to end up having to spend all my money paying you for the right answers.
I'll collect it.
Okay. What was the best picture of the year nominated Academy Award-wise for the year that Medicare was enacted, 1965?
I'm going to guess... 1965. Yeah, it was enacted in 65, but then, you know, they worked all the tweaks out of it in 66 and 67. So 65. Wow.
Academy Best Picture of the Year.
Oh, man. I wanted to say Cat Ballou, but I think that was a couple of years later. So let me think of what was 65. Was it a James Bond movie, maybe?
Nope.
You'll never see a James Bond movie on the Oscars, I don't think. I'm thinking of either Western or military. Was it a Western? No. Military. I'm going to keep doing that till your voice starts.
I'm choking up already. So yeah, I'm going to have to take that one away from you because I gave you three shots. The Sound of Music.
Oh, well, no wonder. Jesus Christ. I'm not a girl, you know.
I know that. That's why it was a toughie one.
Did you know that the patriarch of that family, that Austrian family, was a Nazi submarine commander? World War One. He was a submarine commander for the Kaiser. Apparently he distinguished himself to a great extent in submarine warfare, but that was World War One, and the submarines then were pretty primitive. But this guy did a very good job at being a submarine commander and sinking a lot of enemy cargo, I guess.
Yeah, well, that's good to know. I did not know that. So here's your this is a little bit tougher now.
Oh boy, that one was bad. I've got a headache from that one.
Okay, go ahead. Tighten up your seatbelt.
Oh.
Blank is the first U.S. president to receive a Medicare card.
Truman.
Oh, my God. You are correct.
That's because Truman came up with the whole idea, that evil, nefarious person. it was his idea and his guidance. I want to say his pressure that caused people to think seriously about it being done. He was a Democrat, of course, and Democrats love big government programs, but it still took quite a while until the Kennedy-Johnson administrations to get it enacted and passed and, frankly, to put it in effect. But Truman is where the idea originated of having a big government health insurance program.
You know, I'm not sure I'm going to win this game, Doug. You're doing way too well.
Well, I'll tell you, it's all dredging it up from way deep inside my brain pan. So you have a good chance of stumping me. Keep going.
All right. So this is probably a tough one, but it's an extension to a previous question that you did well on. So I'm going to fill in all the parts you already answered correctly, and then I'm going to give you the bogey at the end. So the question was, before Medicare, 48% of Americans 65 and older had no insurance. Today, it is what percent?
I'm going to say 5%.
You know, I'm going to have to give you that. It's 2%.
You're so reluctant.
Gonna have to give you that one.
Yeah. Well,
now here's a question that, you know, based on what I've heard you discuss, I'm not sure I understand the answer to this. So I'm not gonna ask you the question, but I would like you to clarify what they mean by this, and then you can go on to your own shtick since I failed miserably at winning anything from you.
No, you came very close to taking the marble. So good job.
So here's the question. I don't understand why they say this is true. The Social Security Administration was the agency responsible for administering Medicare from 1965 until 1977. I don't understand why they answered it that way and they said it's true.
Well, the deal is that they had this big idea of Medicare as an extension of Social Security. So if you go back to the actual law that enacted Medicare, it was considered to be tacked on to the Social Security Act of 1933. So it actually has a couple of numbered sections that were tacked on to the original Social Security law. So it'd be like, if that was 18 sections long, then Medicare came along and it became section 19 of the Social Security Act. And there was a time when people didn't have the imagination to see that it would be a freestanding program. like it is today. They thought it would be an extension of government handouts, just like Social Security is a government program. So that's that was the rationale behind it originally. They needed also, you know, when you have a government program, you got to have a bunch of paper pushers, and they were already there. The Social Security Administration's full of them. So they just said, hey, while you're doing your normal job here, do this job over here too.
Well, you know, Doug, I congratulate you on a very fine performance. I'm going to take my questions, put my tail between my legs, and slink back to my desk.
You did yourself proud. And frankly, I welcome more challenges like this because frankly, you know, I said frankly already, I enjoy goofing around like this. And I enjoy goofing around that actually spreads the knowledge. So if I can pontificate on stuff as a result of your questioning, I'm looking forward to our next session.
Well, good. I'm going to dig a little bit deeper in the archives next time. So,
well, the only thing I've really failed on so far is my jokes about what's his name? The martial arts guy from Oklahoma. I tried to trot those out a few times and they didn't have anything to do with Medicare. Maybe that was the reason they didn't go over that well. So, anyway, I had a few mailbag items that I wanted to go through. I wanted to say, first of all, that I was surprised when I woke up this morning, and this could lead to trouble, but I don't think it will because we're all big kids here. But I had a short email from one of our favorites, Dominic Regina, and he said, hey, Doug and Randy, just wanted to congratulate you on episode 180, which was Plan G plus HDG, and not plus, Plan G versus HDG. In other words, Medicare Supplement Plan G versus Medicare Supplement High Deductible G. He said it was very well done and very informative. I even shared it with my sister-in-law, who is in the process of picking a supplement plan. Then he said, I would argue, however, that your most severe critic should have given you an A+ for this one. Well done, Dominic Regina. Well, a couple of questions come to mind. First of all, I didn't look and see what the most severe critic gave to that one. I'd like to think it was better than an F. That's every time she gives me a letter grade after listening to one of our episodes, she goes, I think I've given you too many A's. This one deserves a B. And I have to remind her, no, each episode should stand on its own. So as a listener, as a non-Medicare expert, do you think it was informative? Do you think it was entertaining? Or was it something that we should have erased from the audio files? So anyway, Dominic says that that was an excellent episode. He was moved to write. The only piece of bad news here, well, the two pieces are, first of all, will we have to explain this to the severe critic? And secondly, his sister-in-law is in the process of picking a supplement plan. She's obviously not picking it with me. And so, or if she is, she hasn't told me that I'm Dominic's sister-in-law. So I would like to think that Dominic's sister-in-law would also become a client of mine, but so far, no dice. So anyway, thank you, Dominic, for the nice compliment on that particular episode 180, comparing Medicare Supplement Plan G with High Deductible Plan G. And the other correspondence I got recently, I've been going back and forth with Steve. A couple episodes ago, I told you that Steve is signing up with me for his Medicare supplement and his drug plan. And he is a guy who is not only curious and not only has come up with many questions that have contributed mightily to the knowledge that we all have gained from talking about Medicare here, but he keeps me posted as things are transpiring. And right now I'm sitting with a file with Steve's name on it, waiting for the U.S. government to give him his Part B. And it involves applying for Part B. You've got two forms. You have to have a Part B application, which I think is a 40, CMS 40B. The CMS stands for Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. These are people too inept to properly spell their acronym. So instead of CMMS, They just spelled it CMS, but it really stands for Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. So they have two different forms. One form is the application for the Part B Medicare coverage. The other form is for your employer to fill out, proving that you've been covered for medical insurance by your employer's health plan. And this becomes really important if you join late after your 65th birthday, because turning 65 gives you a no holds barred, free of charge, free pass to the world of Medicare, no questions asked. But if you continue to work and you're on your employer's plan, no harm, no foul. You can do that for years. When you decide to leave your employer's plan, then you have to fill out a form to tell the government that you were part of the employer's plan. And so he's trying to figure out how to get those forms attended to, viewed, and passed judgment on by the CMS, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. So he said that he has been given advice, and then they've ignored the advice. And I could read you all the stuff. I've got three pages here of Steve's correspondence to me describing the process by which he has tried to get the Social Security Administration clerks to look at his forms. And that their weird processes, plus the Chinese virus, have caused a changing of the normal procedures. And frankly, they've made it more complicated and difficult for Steve to get the paperwork in front of a person who can pass judgment, give him Medicare Part B, so that we can go ahead with his other coverages, his Medicare supplement and his prescription drug plan. So he's been going back and forth with me. I, in the middle of this, came up with a Washington State client who said, hey, I sent all my paperwork into my local office. And within 1 week, he said exactly 1 week, I checked my website, my Medicare site. I logged into it, and by golly, it said, here you go. You've got Part A and Part B. So he said it took 1 week. And so I told Steve that. I said, look, here's a guy. It took 1 week. And Steve said, well, I just talked to a woman at the same government office, I mean, different office in a different state, but the same type of clerk. And she said to expect somewhere between 30 and 60 days. Now, Steve is not really stating that he wants me to give him better advice than I've given him, but I have to tell Steve that this is not an area that I'm very expert in. I don't know much about Social Security, and I don't know much about how to deal with these bureaucrats. The only thing I know for sure is that it's inconsistent, but if you keep trying, eventually you will prevail. They used to insist that an employer or a human resources type sign the form that says that you've been on the employer plan. Now they've lifted that because they realize that a lot of people are hiding under their beds from this vaccine. And so it's harder to get an authorized signature at your place of employment. So they've said, you don't need to have them do that anymore. Fill out the form yourself as though you were the employer. Tell us when you started, when your coverage is going to end, send it to us along with your application for Part B, and you will then be conferred with Part A, Part B, whatever you needed. So, Steve, I wish I had a way to help you. I wish I could read through all of this stuff, but frankly, I get angry when I read the frustration that people have with their ineptitude. Frankly, it's disappointing that these things can't be done in a more efficient manner. Randy, I'm going to cough. So while I do that, why don't you entertain the folks?
Okay. Well, while Doug is getting his voice back, because he's been talking way too much this week, I need to tell Doug that we are out of fuel.
Oh, man. Only two. We had a nice game, but we had two items from the mailbag. I was hoping we would do better than that.
Well, I'm going to leave some space next podcast for some significant mailbag, because at this point in time, I don't even think I can show my face up at the chip.
Well, then what we'll do is we'll change my intentions from reading articles to more mailbag. How's that?
Absolutely. For the next episode? Absolutely. Because I've got some questions lined up for you. That I'm not going to give a whole bunch of them, but they are going to curl your hair.
Okay. Well, that's something to look forward to, Randy. So, hey, we haven't told anybody to go out to Amazon and buy Medicare for the Lazy Man, simplest and easiest guide ever. It's got a big red 2021 on the cover, and it costs you $8 if you get the paperback. It costs you less than $4 if you want to get the ebook or the Kindle version. So why don't you run out and do that, and then you can you can read along with us, Randy and I.
That's right.
Enjoy talking about the book.
Well, I'd like to tell you could listen to us, but that's not going to happen because the best laid plans of Doug Jones have yet to lead anywhere with the audiobook.
I know, it's frustrating.
ACX is totally ignoring him, not for lack of trying, but I'm pretty well convinced that what were we coming in on June? I hate to say this, but I'm betting that it's going to be a while yet.
If I had a crystal ball, I would start writing next year's book now. The problem is that I don't know what the government's going to do, so I can't comment on their decisions until they make them, which is typically November. Otherwise, I would start right now and get next year's book up and running, but I just I can't do that in good conscience.
Well, I've got one quick thing to add to that. As you know, I'm a software engineer by trade, so we have an expression in the software business that when there's a big thing in the middle of our project that nobody knows how to define yet, we actually put it down on the flow chart as, and in this box here, we write in there, right here, folks, a miracle occurs. So I think maybe if you start writing the book and you know, setting up for next year, there might need to be a box in your chart that says, right here, a miracle occurs.
Well, I can start working on the jokes, too. Maybe I can come up with a better class of jokes, because I have people telling me that they enjoy the book because of its humor, but I want that to be secondary to the imparting of knowledge, Medicare knowledge.
Yeah, I understand. I totally understand. Well, folks, thank you, as always, for joining us at the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. We always enjoy doing it. We always enjoy having you, and you're a great audience, and we're looking forward to seeing you next time. But for the meantime, you have spent about 32 and a half minutes with Doug Jones, the anti-insurance guy from Oklahoma, and the best president of MLM Air we've ever had.
Bye-bye.